see. And that way we don't have to say things like, you need to know this, or remember when you saw, because then we can actually evaluate, did they attend to or notice particular content or functionality earlier in the experience? Because if they get somewhere later where they have to remember something that they saw earlier, and then they go, I'm lost here, then I know right away they did not see or pay attention to, or they're having a memory failure for information that was presented earlier. And so then I can probe and try and figure out, did they see it and have forgotten it, or did they not see it? So there are different ways that we can plant that information in there. In some cases, inevitably, there are going to be situations where we just have to tell them something because it's the prototype. And the good thing is they know it's a prototype in most cases. So we can say, you know, well, unfortunately, not everything is working here. It's not a fully functional website yet. So there are some constraints. And unfortunately, it's only going to work for December 18th. If they try to pick another date.
Okay, so you can at that point.
And
you don't
have
to like make them click on every single one until they're
right. Right, yeah. Yeah, you can let them go in and start to interact with it, and then when they notice that it's only taking certain data, you can just remind them gently, it is a prototype, only certain pieces of information will work. In this case, just the 18th. And that's all right. And they'll get over that.
Okay.
But you're right that we have to be careful about how much of that we dole out at the outset.
Yeah.
Yeah, and prototypes are restrictive, right? I mean, we did talk about last week, the idea, or 2 weeks ago, of the red herring links, right? And the idea of link sniffing. People pick it up right away. If there's only one link on every page that works, they're going to look for the link. They're not going to look at the content of the page and think through the experience. So we embed the fake links so that everything looks like it could be clickable, even though maybe only one or two of them actually go somewhere. That way they really have to think about what they are doing before they commit to an action. Otherwise you just see the mouse do this across the page until they find it. You know, they pick some geometric pattern that allows them to figure out what's going on. Okay, any other issues with the scripts? So one of the things that we had in the sample script were sort of the initial setup questions, the explanation about testing, we're not evaluating you, some post-test questions at the end. Did anybody write pre-test and post-test questions into your script?
Yeah, I wrote some. But I don't think we got enough time to do all of them.
Okay.
There's no way. I mean, it's like, you know, if you want to get like multiple users to use your thing, then it's not going to happen. And like, they're not going to go through all these questions, right? I mean, I got those questions, but it's just not going
to. Yeah, well, normally we would probably have 45 minutes to an hour with each person. So in here, we've got about 5 minutes and relatively simple tasks and like a 12-page prototype, right?
Yeah.
In real life, you'll have a more complex prototype. You'll have much more time with that person. So most of the time, when we go into testing, we have a 1 hour session. We anticipate that we'll have about 40 to 45 minutes of actual testing time. And the other 15 minutes is around introductions, the pre-test questions, the setup. We have to leave a little bit of leeway in there for people to get confused or have questions during the prototype testing. And then we almost always have some post-test questions that we want to ask. We try also to make sure, because we're usually working in a laboratory setting where there's a group of us that are sitting behind a one-way mirror and watching in real time what's going on. A lot of times the people who are observing will have specific questions for a participant. So in the last couple minutes, the moderator will either leave the room and come back and talk to us, are there any special questions you want us to ask? Or we'll set up an IM session, a chat session between the back of the observation room and the testing room. And then the moderator will go on to IM and ask, does anyone have any specific questions? And we'll just type them from behind the mirror. And then they'll ask those questions. So we usually will have 40, maybe 45 minutes of actual testing time. And the rest of it is just more discussion and conversation and follow up with people. So you're going to have a lot less time in here tonight. We're going to run about 5 minutes per testing session. And we're going to rotate groups about every 15 minutes or so. So that'll allow you to do 2 tests per cycle. And then we've got like 5 minutes for the setup, the transfer, a few extra questions, things like that. Yeah. So if you do have extensive pre-test and post-test questions, if you've got time and you want to ask them, you can. Or you can simply jump into the task part of the prototype. So what I'd recommend is if you've got those questions, don't ask them on your first person. Jump right into the prototype, do the tasks, and if you find that they do them really quickly, like sometimes people have a prototype, and you get through the task in 90 seconds, you know, and it's like, oh, I'm done. Well, if you realize that people are doing the prototype really quickly, then you can start asking.
Well, you're going to ask them to speak out, right?
Yeah.
So slowly, and so you're going to have to take notes, so it's not going to be that fast.
Be surprised how quickly 5 minutes vanishes, even if you have a small prototype and simple tasks that people are going through. So remember also that part of the technique that we're using here is we want people to slow down because we want them to be talking out loud about what they are thinking, what they are planning, what they are expecting, why they are choosing certain things to click on. So you spend a lot of time in real testing sessions reminding people to talk out loud, right? Think out loud. What are you looking at? What are you looking for? What do you think it's going to do? Reminding people, before you click on something, I would like you to pause for a moment and tell me what you're going to click on and where you think it will take you or what you think will happen. When people click without saying that, then we stop and we remind them, oh, wait a second, I want you to tell me why you're making these choices. Why you're making these choices before you click on it, because it's an important part of the information gathering. All right? Okay, so tactically, what you'll be doing is we're going to break into groups of three. Let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11. We almost have 12. I can participate in rotating groups as well. So we're going to try as hard as we can to break into groups of three. When you, in your initial group or two, as we rotate around, try to avoid a group that has other people who work on the same site you do. It's okay if you've got one, try not to have both of them be that way because they're already biased, right? They know the site, they know the content, so they're probably going to do it really quickly. So try and get into groups with people who worked on other sites, at least for the first round. We're going to take about 15 minutes per round. What I'd like you to do is each person in that set is going to play one of three roles. You have a moderator, a participant, and an observer. The moderator is going to moderate the test, and it will be their prototype that is tested. The participant will be the role player, right? They are the end user. They will be asked to complete a series of tasks. And then the observer is your secondary note taker. They're like the producer, the business analyst, the project manager, the right hand of the moderator and the design team. They're going to be watching what's going on and listening to what's going on the prototype. So we'll do that one test and then stay in that group of three and switch roles so that someone else gets a chance then in that group to test their prototype. It's another reason why I want you to try and avoid getting the same people or people who work on the same site in that group, because we want to try to avoid like having three Kung Fu people who are testing the Kung Fu site and then the Kung Fu site. Ideally, we would be testing two different sites in each group. That way, we don't have bias where one test, you know, influences the next test. If it happens, it happens. It's a small group. I understand it's going to. But we should be able to rotate probably at least three times around here. I'm going to guess we can rotate three times in here. And each person should have the opportunity to test their prototype at least twice. If you can do it more than that, great. It would be great if we could get three times in here, but just given the number of people and the number of sites that we were working on, it might not happen. So we'll rotate three times, take 45 minutes. If it runs a little bit longer, that's okay because we'll usually finish up earlier anyway. But for the people who are observing and the people who are moderating, it is important that you jot down some notes about what's going on. I want you to write down what are the successes and the failures of your prototype. What are the strengths and the weaknesses, right? So what worked well for people? No one had a problem with it, people complimented it, they were able to make accurate predictions, They understood error messages, whatever it happens to be. If it worked well, what were the strengths? If it didn't work, if there was confusion, if they clicked the wrong thing, if they expected something else, if they generated an error, then what's a weakness in the design? And after we've done the rotations and everyone's had a chance to test at least two times, then we're going to take your sort of your compiled notes and we're going to take a look. I'm not going to pull it up just yet, but there's a little link down at the bottom under exercises that says common usability issues. There are certain types of errors that regularly occur in prototype testing. And what I want to do is to take your notes, your observations of your own prototypes, and see where do they fit into these different types of errors. And in some cases, we can have a brief discussion around what might you have done to minimize or avoid that error. How could you improve your design based on what you've seen? One of the most important things that comes out of this class is that this is a room of non-naive or sophisticated people. You're in a design class, you're sophisticated web users, you are already biased in terms of usability and your understanding of what we are doing, because we've been talking about how usability works, what the script is, role play, all of that stuff. So everyone in here is really not your ideal candidate for usability testing. Right? It's like, I would not want to recruit any one of you to come to my prototype testing because you're going to skew it. But that doesn't mean we're not going to get good information from people. The other people in this class are going to make observations as designers and as users. And so you're still going to get interesting information. It's probably going to be more detailed than you would get if you invited Joe Sixpack off the street to come in and take a look at your website. So it'll be a little bit different, but we are still going to learn things, even though we're already biased. And that's what we'll do. We'll classify those problems and talk about how might we have gotten around them. It's also really interesting as we're talking about these problems because there are certain recurring problems that will probably come up across prototypes. Some people will have similar problems or similar issues because they are just common problems, not because it's an issue with your website or your design. They're just challenges on the web. And so it's nice to see those bubble up and see the commonality across the solutions as well. So we'll talk about that. Okay, so we have a ton. It looks like almost everyone brought a laptop in here. One missing, just one? Yeah. Oh, we get to make fun of you, Lisa. Do you have a clickable prototype or a paper prototype?
Clickable, I guess.
Clickable? Yeah. Is it online or is it on a thumb drive?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can carry your thumb drive with you. It's a clickable PDF? Is that what you said?
No, it's not clickable. I mean, it's a PDF. I don't know how to make a clickable PDF.
Okay, so you'll manually jump pages then.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can carry your thumb drive around and people can read PDFs then.
Yeah.
And so if we get volunteers in your groups where people can let you use the computer, great. Mm-hmm. If we get into a situation where you don't have one, we've got one up here that we can point to as well. All right, so let's find our initial groups. Did we hit 12? No, we still at 11, right? I didn't pay attention to 4, 6, 8, 10, 11, yeah. So let's go to groups of 3. One's going to have 2 people in it, so I'll be a rotating person. I won't be a participant. I'll just be an observer in both cases. So I'll sit and watch. But at some point, I do need to wander around and look at other people's prototypes. One of my goals this evening is I need to see each person's prototype. So we might have a group of 2 that kind of is a group of 2 for a while. All right, so find your groups of 3. And we'll end up picking tables, pick stations where you're not immediately next to another group, because it just gets noisy when you're too close to people, so try and space yourself out. But we'll have 4 groups, so we just need 4 groups, 3, 3, 3, and 2. And I